dangling with a northern accent. Let's pray. Father, we love that song. Well, what about the Westcott Horde? What about these are the guys that in 1881 put together this new Greek text, and it was followed by Nestle's and Kurt Allen's text, and all these are built upon it. This is the one that all these new modern versions come from. But the problem is, as we went back and we talked a little while ago, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. A fountain cannot send forth at the same fountain both bitter water and sweet. You can't be both. It can't be good and it can't be. Things that are different are not the same. And so, Westcott and Horde, what about them? Well, our purpose from the very start is to say we've done our very best trying not to attack people that use a different version of the King James Bible. We try not to make this a personality contest. There are smarter people, more educated people than me that would disagree with me. I'm trying to get us to agree with the Bible. My mentor, Dr. Bruce Lackey, said, I've read what all the scholars say about this issue on is the King James Bible the true Word of God? I've read about all what they've said, and then I've read what the Bible says about itself. And each one of us must make a choice like Dr. Lackey. I have chosen to believe what the Bible says about itself rather than what the scholars say about the Bible. And so as we've looked through the Bible, we found that God has made so many absolute promises concerning His Word that He was going to keep it, He was going to preserve it. It'll endure to every generation. Not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and even forevermore. He says all that, and we preached this morning that God can back up what He says. If we can't believe anything else besides that promise and understand the kind of power He's got, if we deny that, no wonder we have all these new versions coming in. Because what I just said is exactly the position that Westcott and Horde took. They believed in evolution. They did not believe in personal salvation. They did not believe in a literal heaven. Did not believe in a literal hell. From their own biographies. So though we try not to attack the person, we've been trying to attack the problem. But here's the question. Would it matter what somebody said about the Bible if they professed that they were not born again? If they said they're not saved? If you knew somebody was really living a wicked life. I'm not saying Westcott and Horde were. I'm just saying if you knew someone was really living a wicked life, would you change your ideas on the Bible because of what they said? If they say, no, if I die today, I'm going to hell. I know it. I've never been saved. I'm not a saved man. Are they qualified to teach the Bible? Are they qualified to know what the Bible is? No. It takes a saved man. You got to be saved. A natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Until we're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't come in to dwell with us to be our teacher and instructor and illuminator of our soul and open and put the light on the Scriptures. We'll know enough as lost people to know we're lost, that the Bible's true, that we can believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. But as far as growing in grace, you got to be in grace to grow in grace. If somebody were saved, if they really were saved, if Westcott Horde really were saved, but their life was involved in unclean activities, false doctrines, seances, witchcraft, false cults. If their life associations were in that group, even if they really were saved, but their whole lifestyle was immoral, anti-God, would they be qualified to be speaking on this issue and searching the translations to find out what Bible we ought to be living? What if they are saved and clean and yet they are still carnal? As a carnal, even if you're saved, doing the right thing, going to the right places, walking right, spitting white, and everything else, but you still live in the world, think like the world, make your decisions like the world, instead of looking at what the Bible says, does the Bible says this is what I'm supposed to do or not? Well, let's see. Well, this would help, and you relate to the pros and the cons, and you say, well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Should I not? And you still think like a lost person, even though you're saved. You're still making your decisions the same way, using the same psychology, the same rationality, the same emotion, instead of going to the Bible and saying, what does the Bible say? Then you're not qualified on the Bible anyway. So here's three things that would keep a person from being qualified to deal with this issue. And the truth of the matter is, Westcott and Hort didn't qualify in any one of those. But I'm not here to go in and hang out their dirty laundry. But there's good reasons, even from the books that their sons wrote about their fathers. They were Anglican priests in the Church of England, but they were pro-Catholicism, and they believe in a sacrament to get saved. They did not believe in a literal hell. They had never claimed to be born again. On and on it goes. They did start two clubs in their postgraduate education, called the Ghostly Guild. They did seances. So everybody's done some stuff like that back in their college days. Oh, they were already dealing with this issue then. They had many carnal activities in the life involving drugs and liquor and all kinds. I mean, but it was such a well-covered, well-kept secret. They presented themselves as conservative scholars. We have letters of communication, and the book by Otis Fuller, he's got some of the places you can find those letters where they're talking to each other, hey, we can't let this come out. They're not going to buy our book. Westcott or which? There's two groups of people out here in fundamentalism. One group says, it really doesn't matter what you use as long as it is based on the Westcott-Hort text and not the traditional received text of the King James Bible. A lot of fundamentalism today says, oh, you can use the Good News for Modern Man, the Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, Contemporary English Version. All you can use any of them because scholarship said this is where all scholarship and all educated people stand. This is where you can find the Word of God contained in these new versions. Just we're not against the King James Bible, but you know we have it's got so many errors, so many mistakes. It's so archaic. You just need to move on. Use any Bible you want to, but just don't use that King James. Now that's definitely out there in so-called evangelicalism and fundamentalism. And group two, which I fall into, says, well, I'll tell you my position. It doesn't matter what language the Bible's translated into. If it's just an honest translation, if it's honest and legitimate translation of the received text, the traditional text, the historical text, the martyr's text, the ecclesiastical text, as long as it's honestly translated from that in any language or from the King James Bible itself, it is God's Word. I'm not just saying King James is the only thing that's God's Word. I'm saying you translate off the King James or anything the King James has been translated off of. But the group one publishes, Moody Bible Institute, Dallas Theological Seminary, most of the seminaries say, well, if you take position number two, my position, you're a King James only cult. You're a cult. Of course, I've read articles by those same people that says if any woman wears a prairie dress, that's evidence that she's a cult. Not hardly. Now, they cry, we are King James cult. Then what are they? That's why I say the real King, it's not the King James only cult, it's the Westcott Hort only cult. Because they don't care which version as long as it's based on the Westcott Hort. And they don't think anything that they've come up with is actually the Word of God. They just say this is as close as we can come. But I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Yes. What happened in 1881, May 2nd, they presented their new edition in the Greek and they wrote an English Bible off of it called the Revised Version. They presented it on May 2nd, 1881, to correlate with May 2nd, 1611, when the original King James Bible was presented to the from the publisher to King James I of England. So they want to say, in 1881, we have just continued the same historical flow. We're just another revision of the King James Bible, and we're presenting it. What happened in 1881 and following? The result, what would you expect if the results of this, if this Bible were the Word of God, like the King James Bible? The King James Bible, everywhere it went, it got demons out of people. It put marriages back together. It made people conservative. It made people modest. It made people separated from the world. It gave people boldness. It gave them sincerity. It filled their life with truth. It helped win the world. It brought on revivals. It caused great missionary endeavors. It caused the great soul-winning efforts of history. So now we got a fresh update on that Bible. What would it produce? Powerful invasions came along just right on the heels of the presentation of the Revised Version. This English version was based on the Greek text of the Westcott Hort. The hedge of protection is the King James Bible. I believe the Word of God, our Bible, causes us to be salt and light in this world. It is the power of God. It's the power of God in our hands, in our minds, in our hearts. But if we set it aside, when it began to be substituted in 1881, the floodgates were open. Almost every seminary in America that was not truly fundamental, they brought in the Revised Version. Churches just brought in the Revised Version. In 1880, through 1885, you have the establishment of the Jehovah's Witnesses. What's their Bible based on? The New World Translation. It almost reads word for word with the NIV. Jehovah's Witness Bible is based on this same text. The LDS, the Mormon Bible. All I'm talking about these cults immediately. Jehovah's Witnesses, LDS, Adventists, back then they were called Millennial Dawn. They literally prognosticated that Jesus Christ would come on a certain day, and all the followers got up on roofs and white sheets waiting, sold everything, and got up on the roofs and waited, and he didn't come. So they got back up there the next day because they thought they might have been a day off. See, Harold Camping's group, it's not new. Cults are like that. Oh, by the way, I wonder who got all the millions of dollars of those people donated to Harold Camping trying to warn the people about Jesus coming? Because it wasn't spent. Oh, is he in Switzerland now? Oh. Still doing radio programs. Still preaching. He'll be back in Florida. He'll be back in Los Angeles. He'll be back in Chicago. Christian Science started in 1880s. Unity, 1880s. Why? Up to this time, people were attacking the hedge, but the hedge was standing in protection. But the hedge came down. The cults invaded. Demonic activity has increased since then. What happened? 1881. Not only did they swallow this new version, evolution became standard in the education system. Even from Dewey in New York City that ran for president of the United States thought Dewey won. No, Truman won. Oh, by the way, in the Scopes Monkey Trial in 1927, William Jennings Bryan defended the Bible being taught in school. He won. He won hands down the debate. He won the court case. But to hear the media talk and hear the movies out of Hollywood say, he looked like an absolute idiot. No, it was the monkey people that were idiots. He won that debate, hands down. But 1880s, evolution took its foothold in the education system of America and Europe. Why? The Bible wasn't in the... A new Bible had been accepted. When did the nation start accepting homosexuality? You can go back in history and you can find it. It's there. When did we have the rise of fascism that literally took over Germany, Italy, Spain, causing World War I? It all came out of here. Socialism. There was no country that was socialist until 1885. How about communism? Where did that come? It all came in at the same time. How about eclecticism, this whole higher criticism stuff? Right here. How about liberalism, what we've called liberalism, where they deny the miracles and deny the existence of a literal God and angels and all this other stuff? Well, it's been around a long time because demons have been around a long time. But I'm just saying, all of a sudden now this is where the majority of the education system and the theological contamination, this is where it all started showing up. Modernism, neo-orthodoxy, the charismatic movement started at this time. New evangelicalism, the new Scofield Bible, is based on the revised version. That's why you always get the old Scofield. We talked about reading the Scriptures this morning. The purpose of the Scripture was to reveal Jesus Christ. How would you know anything about Jesus if you didn't have a Bible? Well, how do you know what the Bible says about Christ is correct if you don't think you have an accurate Bible? God the Father didn't leave this to chance. He watched over this to make sure. Paul the Apostle said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, not according to the preacher, not according to a good idea, not according to a bunch of people down by the river singing Kumbaya. It was a revelation of God in the Bible. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." By the way, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is not enough information to get somebody saved. I know, it's the definition of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. No. That's not true. It's according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures is... it's the death according to the Scriptures. He couldn't have died anywhere but on an old rugged cross. He had to die according to the Scriptures. It had to be the right Jesus dying according to the Scriptures. It had to be the Jesus of Nazareth dying. It had to be the Jesus born of a virgin in Bethlehem. It had... all was this had to be about the life of Jesus Christ. It had to be according to the Scriptures. the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, plural. Amen. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham. Yes. Now somebody, oh, they didn't get saved the same way we did. They didn't even believe the same gospel we did. That verse says different. That says Abraham got saved the same way you and I got saved. Saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." How would you know which things written were true? Unless God made sure we have a Bible. Would you literally, really, would you think you had to come to me or to a pope or a priest and say, "What does God say about this? Do you have a revelation? What does God want me to do?" Well, I take you to the Bible. Pastor would take you to the Bible, show you verses, and show you principles and precepts, and say, "Now this is how God says you ought to pattern your life. This is the decision. This is what you ought to do. This is what God says." How would you show someone else truth without the truth? Listen, I'm telling you, believe me because of who I am. Believe me because I'm such a great Christian. Believe me because I'm such an eloquent speaker. Believe me because I'm so talented, personable, and I've got an intellect that's just out of this world. No, you believe me because I find in the Bible, and I say, thus saith the Lord. It's written. The purpose of the Scripture is to reveal Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Scripture is that that thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You cannot get saved without a Bible. Or somebody telling you exactly what the Bible says happened to Jesus Christ and why He did it. See, you can only be saved by the truth. Thy Word is truth. Not the concept. "Well, Jesus died for me." Well, that's why Satan tried to kill him in the garden under the stress and the sweat, great drops. I mean, Satan tried to kill him by the beating all night long by those soldiers. Satan tried to beat him with the scourgings, and most men died under the scourging. If Jesus had died anywhere but on that old rugged cross, you and I would go to hell. Salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right. Who has authority to correct anybody if we don't have a standard? The Bible. "Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I know you don't think that's all right. I know you don't, but I don't believe it." Well, that makes you God. You and I have, we said this before, you and I have no right and no authority from God to decide what's right and wrong. Neither does the Supreme Court of the United States of America. There's only one God and one lawgiver. And we're to follow whatever He says is right and wrong. Stealing's wrong because God said it's wrong. Not because that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished in all good work. If we don't have a Bible, how are we going to be qualified to do anything that God tells us to do? So the Bible has a reason that God gave it to us. In 1 Peter 2:6, "Wherefore he is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion as chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." If we didn't have words to direct us, we'd all be in confusion and confounded on every issue of life. But God has written it down in a book. "To Jesus Christ, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's another verse that I use when people say you get different salvations and different dispensations. Abraham got saved a different way. Moses got saved a different way. And people under the law got saved a different way. No, no, no. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him should receive remission of sins." The Scriptures reveal all things pertaining to Christ and His salvation, His kingdom, His character. Hundreds of Scriptures must be fulfilled concerning Him. What if they're not accurate? How would you How would you find out if they were accurate? So again, I'm saying we're struggling with all these new versions because the scholars and the scribes say, ask me, I know. I'll decide for you what is and what isn't. No, I think God has put it together and made sure that we have a Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, this is meat and potatoes right here. This is one of the most important things that I've dealt with the whole week. Because the modern versions and the modern scholars and scribes are saying, well, you know, all Scripture was given by inspiration when they were given, but they're not inspired anymore. So we're just trying to find out what originally was said, because that's what's originally said was what's inspired. But they'll never find originals. And what if they did find the originals? What did we say on Monday night? What would happen if they actually found the original copies of Paul's letters? Venerated. Oh, for $5,000, I'll tear off the corner of a page of his letter. Oh, here's three nails, the three rusted nails that hung Jesus on the cross. Oh, $15,000 a piece. Who will give me 15, 15, 20, 20, 25, 20, 30, 30, 35? I mean, just making a money-making proposition. Well, that's what it's turned out to be anyway. But what is the Scriptures? I've heard what the scholars say the Scriptures are, but what does the Bible say the Scriptures are? Daniel says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. Whatever Scripture is, it can be shown and it can be noted. Doesn't sound like some missing original. Mark 12:10, and there's hundreds of verses like this. Have ye not read this Scripture? Whatever Scripture is, you have to be able to point to it. This one. Well, it's the originals that's Scripture. No, no, no. It's not the originals that are Scripture. What's given by inspiration? Scripture. And whatever Scripture is, it can be noted and shown. Whatever Scripture is, it can be read and it can be pointed out to this one. The stone which builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And he began to say to them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ear. Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures. Whatever Scriptures are, it's not originals, it's not something that's missing, it's something that can be explained and expounded.
Yes. Amen.
Sounds like something you could have in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like something the common people had access to.
Yes. Amen.
Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked to us, while he talked with us, by the way, and while he open to us the Scripture. It can be expounded, explained, noted. It can be shown. It can be read. It can be pointed out this. And it can be opened. Sounds like something you can open up. That's not originals. That's not something hid in a cave somewhere. Jesus said, this is a commandment, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's something that can be searched.
Yes.
Can you search the original? No, you search for it, but you'll never find it. It's rotted away. They're died, you know, they got burned by the prosecutions and persecutions. And 8:32, they took him to the place of the Scripture, which he read was this. The place of the Scripture. In Acts 8:35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preaching to them Jesus. Acts 17:2, and Paul, after his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So I'm just saying, as far as the Bible is concerned, what's given by inspiration of God is the Scriptures, and what the Scriptures are what they had in their hand. And these, Acts 17:11, these were more noble. And it's talking about lost people at Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness in mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That Bible, that King James Bible, is your greatest defense against me. Doesn't matter what I say. If I say anything goes contrary to what that Bible says, that Bible's your defense. It's your father filter. You can test all the voices, all the demonic activity, all the winds of doctrine, all the doctrines of demons. Filter it through the Bible, and nothing can hurt you because you'll know the truth. Acts 18:28, for he mightily, this is talking about Apollos, he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You can take that same Bible and do the same thing. The scripture is that which things were written aforetime. Scripture is that you can deliver unto people. And the scriptures are to him give all the prophets witness. And so you can, all the prophets that were real prophets, it's in the Bible. Moses did say, As a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Whatever the scriptures are, something a child can understand. A child can get a hold of. You don't send your 10-year-old to Israel to dig around in archaeological digs to try to come up with the Word of God. You don't send him to the Dalai Lama on the side of the Himalayan mountains trying to get in touch with God. No, the scriptures are the Word of God that you hold in your hand. It's something right there. It's something that God made sure he got to the common people. In all his epistles, evidently, Peter thought that they had available all Paul's epistles at that day. And he said all of them were scriptures. It says, the Apostle Paul, speaking in them of things in which some things were hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures. So Peter, though Paul had already rebuked him publicly, Peter still said Paul's writings were scripture, as much scripture as Moses' writing. The scriptures were those copies and translations that they could hold in their hands, not the originals. Many times the Bible says scripture speaks. Do you know the Bible is a living thing? The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's one of the main problems with Westcott Hort theory is that you treat the Bible just like it's any other book. That's different. This is a living thing. You can treat something that the people that stuff animals, what are they called? Taxiderm. You can treat something that's been through the taxidermist a little different. You can treat something that hadn't been. The Bible's a living thing. You can't just set it out on the back porch and expect it to still be the same tomorrow. You got to take care of it. It's a living thing. The Bible is that way. And so, in the scriptures, when God is speaking, it's equal to Scripture speaking. I know it's hard to stay awake. It's hard to stay awake because of the food and the sugar levels and all that. I'm going to be done here in just a few more minutes. So please, take a deep breath of grace. Because if I'm going to join five or six of you, believe me, I'm sleepy. God of all comfort and the comfort of the Scriptures are equal. Well, God comforted my soul. How? He gave me the Bible. He spoke through the Scriptures. It's quick. It's alive. Scriptures discerns the intentions of the heart. The Scripture has its own personality. And we're not going to deal with, look at all these verses. But the same attributes, spirit, and powers that are applied to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, The Scriptures have all those same fruits, all those same attributes, and all those same powers. The Word of God is equal to God.
Yes.
Well, it's just a book. It's God's Word.
Yes.
Now, here's what the Bible says about the Bible. These are all verses you're familiar with. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What if we don't know if we have his truth? How can anybody know if they're sanctified or not? You're saved by the word.
Yes.
But if you don't know you have the word, how do you know you're saved? God which made heaven and earth, the sea and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever.
Yes.
God says he can keep truth forever. Remember about his strong man arm? He keepeth his palace, and his goods are at peace. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. God says there's mercy and truth that can preserve him. How can God preserve you with mercy and truth if you don't even have the words mercy and truth preserved? How can God preserve knowledge but not the words of knowledge? Cease, my son, Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. There's some things you just need to walk away from and stop listening to. When somebody's trying to tell you that nobody got a Bible, nobody knows there is a real Word of God, they're only some blind thing, there's some hidden truth out there somewhere, somebody somewhere used to have the Bible, nobody knows what the Bible is, you just walk away from that. God says, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over it, he will preserve it. God watches over his stuff.
Yes.
Scriptures. If the words are truth, the truth is preserved.
Yes.
We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. It doesn't matter how many lies you tell somebody about the truth. You still can't change it. You cannot hurt the truth. Truth doesn't change. Cannot change. You put all the political spin on something that somebody said, but the fact that they still said it or did it is still the truth. You can explain it, but the truth doesn't change. We can do nothing against the truth before the truth. But here's the truth. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. If it were up to me to protect and defend the Bible, we'd have lost it a long time ago. That's God's business. If it were up to me to save a soul, everybody would go to hell. I just give people the truth, and I give it compassionately, and I give it correctly, and I give it earnestly, and I give it prayerfully, and they either believe it and get saved, or they reject it and will die and go to hell. But I will be rewarded for being a faithful witness and for being a good fisherman, and I'll get rewards for that. So except the Lord keep the Scriptures, scholars labor in vain. And what I'm doing this week means nothing if this is how we keep the Bible. If I don't convince you the King James Bible is the Word of God, all is lost. Oh! No. Even if I do a blotchy job, if I did a sorry job all week, doesn't change the fact the King James Bible is the Word of God. How can sound doctrine be preserved but not the words of sound doctrine? You know, I've skipped over 17 things already, but how can God preserve His creation but not His words that formed it? That's what we dealt with this morning. What's the problem? I've been asked this six times, so I'll go ahead and deal with it just a little bit. Italicized words, new versions use them, but they do not show them, yet criticize King James Version people for using italicized words. They don't even tell you they're using them, but they do, but they don't italicize them. But I say in 1 Corinthians 2:5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You can have a lot of questions that I might not be able to answer, but your faith doesn't stand in whether I can answer them or not. Your faith stands because you believe there's a God that has preserved His Word. Somebody asked me one time, well, see, 1 Kings tells us that, we said this before, that there were 14,000 horses in Solomon's chariots, but over in Chronicles it said there was 4,000. They can't both be right. Oh, yes, they can. One's talking about the chariots, and the other is numbering the number of individual horses for those chariots. Some of those chariots had one horse, some of those chariots had two horses, and some were called rhinoceroses, some were called, where we get that, unicorns, where they had three horses for every chariot. They were called unicorns. That's an old, there's old English writings about unicorns. It's just talking about a three-horse chariot. You can get your old dictionaries and look it up. Unicorn's not something rolling around with a horn on its head. Yes, that's a mythological thing. It was talking about a unihorn in the book of Job. It's probably talking about a unihorn like a rhinoceros. A unicorn. Okay, and that's, again, these are old English words with a lot of history involved in them. Now, I don't want your faith standing in me, but Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, you can look this up in your Bible. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word in the book of Deuteronomy that is italicized in the King James Bible. That means it wasn't in there. But when Jesus quotes it, he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not italicized. Italicized in the Old Testament, when Jesus quotes it and puts it in there, that proves that the italicized word had to be there. The italicized word was correct. The translators were correct to put the italicized word in. Because when Jesus quoted it, it's no longer italicized because He quoted it. And we can go to 15 other basic things like that. Does the apocryphal belong? Well, in the Catholic version, the apocryphal is put and connected to the old and new. They work it in there so that they're mixed together, like they're all equal. The King James Bible, when it first came out, had the apocrypha, but they put a preface in there saying these are for the historical information, basically. But the third printing edition, they left it out because it was identifying the Protestants with the Catholics that used. A lot of this heretical Catholicism doctrine came out of the apocryphal books. It was accepted based on its historical value. Dr. Sam Gipp has a good book that deals with that. New King James. This was asked so many times. The New King James claims to be an updating of the King James Bible in the same vein as earlier revisions. In other words, 1611, 1613, 1623, 1626. Those were not revisions. Those were updatings and corrections and standardizations even up to 1769 of the vocabulary, of the spelling, of the printing errors. They don't have the modern computer system we have today. But I said before, I got the first edition Ryrie Study Bible King James Version and they left out four verses. But the next printing, they corrected it. Now, it would be a revision if they'd have said, well, I get evidently we supernaturally left them out the first time. We need to leave them out now. No, they corrected it. That's what the King James Bible. So the New King James is not a revision. It's not a correction. It's not an addition. It's a complete change. And so the King James is only the fifth in a series of revisions. How then? In 375 years from 1611, for 375 years before the New King James Bible came out, there, all these revisions, all these new additions changed the King James Bible 400 times in 375 years. But with one new edition, new revision called the New King James, there were approximately 60,000 additional changes. The editors of the New King James Version, again, Dr. James Price, my Greek teacher while I was at seminary, he's the man that put this together. How he was allowed to be at Temple Theological Seminary, I'm not sure. There was a lot of others there that didn't need to be there. New King James Versions were sly enough not to align themselves with the most serious blunders of the modern Bible. Yet they were not afraid to change the reading in those places that are unfamiliar to the average Christian. Here's one. Just in the book of Ecclesiastes, these are coming from a book named by Dr. David Stauffer. Douglas Stauffer. Good book. And this is just the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 1, verse 14, the King James says, vexation of spirit. The New King James translates it, grasping at the wind. Okay? In chapter 3, verse 18, and there's many, many, many more. I'm just hitting some. In chapter 3, 18 of Ecclesiastes, that God might manifest them. The New King James said, God tested them. Well, yeah, they tested them. They manifested them by testing. But they can't be translations of the same thing. In 3:18, they themselves are beasts. But in the New King James, they themselves are like beasts. One says they are, the other says they're, well, they're just like them. In chapter 5, verse 6, thy voice in the New King James says your excuse. Are they translating the same thing? He is higher than the highest. In the New King James, it says, high official. It's talking about God. God answereth him. The New King James says, God keeps him busy. In chapter 8, verse 1, we have boldness. In New King James says, we have sternness. Well, I guarantee you there's a difference between just being stubborn and stern and being bold. The masters of assemblies is what the King James Bible says. And they said, I'm talking about people who they turn to. The masters of the assemblies, the synagogues, synagogues, the places where the people assemble, the churches, the temple, and they said, no, they translated the masters of the assemblies with the scholars. Who wrote these new versions? The scholars. In conclusion, the New King James Version is not a revision in the vein of former editions of the King James Bible, but it is instead an entirely new translation qualifying for its own copyright. To get a new copyright, you have to change in over 10,000 places. Well, it doesn't change anything really, then why change it? Well, it doesn't really change any doctrine. There's no really doctrinal significance. Then why change it? Well, we've touched the hem of the garment. And we so appreciate your kind attention. And we've been going at it a little over an hour. Oh, well, not quite an hour, but... We've been going a long time this week. But you can have faith. And you can have confidence that God has kept His book for us. Let us defend it by using it. Let us show it by practicing it. God's big, a big God. He can keep your soul. How would you know you're still saved and God's going to keep you if you don't even know He's kept the Bible? So, turn your confidence. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He'll keep you. Believe His prophets and you'll be rewarded. Father, we love You. Ask Your blessings upon the study.